Welcome to Radio Naturopath. This is the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. I'm here with my co-host, Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. So we have kind of a special show today because today I am double nickels. How cool is that? So what that means is that it's it's my 55th birthday. That's double nickels. So I was going to talk about a little bit about something you may be interested in, which is me and my background and just things that I like. And I want to inspire you to celebrate and to celebrate yourself. So just a little bit about me.
I know a little bit about you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's a good thing.
So I was born on November 28th, 1963.
Thank you.
What's interesting, you're welcome. Yes, and we should thank Ronnie and Myron for that.
I would say thank Ronnie and Myron for that.
Yeah, because
yes.
they were kind of responsible for that.
I am very appreciative of their endeavor of bringing you into the world.
Yeah, it was really a great thing. So that it was an interesting week because 6 days earlier, John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. So part of my birth story is that my mother was big with child. She was on her way to a prenatal visit, and she was done with it. And this was in New York City. So they lived in Queens at the time and in Bayside. And she was on a bus, and she saw some students coming out of school, and they were all absolutely distraught. They were in tears and crying, and because people really loved John F. Kennedy, and she found out that he had been assassinated. And so a few days later, on November 26th, which is my dear friend Eric Kelly's birthday, on that day, she was getting up and down to change the channels because there was such crazy coverage on TV. And of course they didn't have a remote, and that was back when the TVs had a little dial on it that you changed the channels. Remember those?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. So
yes, I am that old.
Right. Mm. And so when she got up to change the channels, guess what happened? Water broke. So yay.
I think that happens when you change the channels.
Wait, that your water
That's
breaks?
Why they made remotes.
So that
so
your
you
water wouldn't
that
break
problem.
Prematurely? Yeah. Mm. I don't know that it was premature. I think I was ready to go. I was good to go because obviously I was born and now it's 55 years later. So I think I was right.
The Fran I know is always ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right.
There.
So I did something silly. I was so excited to get born. I really needed to get born because everybody was so upset. So I had to cheer them up. That was my job. And so it was good that I waited until Thanksgiving Day. That was not a bad thing. You know, the idea was I needed to get out in a hurry. So I stuck my shoulder out. I was what we call a shoulder presentation. And when I was in my obstetrics classes in naturopathic college, they said, Nora Tallman said to us, shoulder presentation is an automatic C-section. So guess what? I was an automatic C-section. So my mom's first, she tried to labor, and I just couldn't come out that way. So C-section it was, and there I was. And so we lived in Bayside in Queens for 2 years, and then we moved to Flushing. Also in Queens. And so if you know anything about Flushing Meadow Park is, that's where the World's Fairgrounds are. And there's some iconic statues there from the 1964 World's Fair. That it wasn't the World's Fair. Well, I guess it was probably being built at the time because the World's Fair happened in 1964. And I went in a baby carriage.
It wasn't a place.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It wasn't the place that the toilet was invented then.
What, the World's Fair?
No, Flushing.
Oh, you're so funny.
Uh-huh.
Right. No, no.
I had to go there.
No. So the deal is there are a number of place names in New York that have odd-sounding names.
Yes, they do.
And Flushing is actually an anglicization of Leasingen. So you know that.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So you know that New York was settled earlier before the Anglos came, that was settled by the Dutch, which is why you have a lot of Dutch place names in New York, and especially around New York City, but some other places too. But that's why New York used to be called New Amsterdam, which is the capital of the Netherlands. And if you look at the place names around New York, there's the Van Wyck Parkway, and there's Flushing, which was Vlissingen, and there's some other place names in I don't know if I can think of them all, but there's a number of place names. There's another one I just popped into my head is Schuylkill, but Schuylkill is in the Schuylkill Expressway, and Schuylkill is in Greater Philadelphia, but that's also a Dutch place name. But there are a lot of Dutch place names in and around New York City, and Flushing is a mm-hmm. section of Queens. You know, it's a postal zone in Queens, and it was Vlissingen, and then it got anglicized to Flushing. So we were only there for 4 years, then we moved to Jersey. So you know me as a Jersey girl.
I do.
So since I was six, I lived in New Jersey. And the part of New Jersey we lived in, everybody's like, oh, it's so polluted there, and, you know, it looks terrible. It's all oil refineries. And I just want to remind you that the oil refineries are all along the turnpike and the northern part of the turnpike. And why would that be? Gee, here's a good reason. First of all, because it's next to the turnpike. You don't want to have it next to houses, so you put it near the turnpike. The other reason to put it next to the turnpike is so you can transport it. So the thing is, when people come into New Jersey from New York City, that's the first thing they see, all the oil refineries. So they assume that's what all of New Jersey is like. And it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, it is called the Garden State. And there's a reason it's called the Garden State. If you go further afield, afield.
Oh, you're too funny.
There's a lot of wonderful produce in New Jersey. A lot of great farms in New Jersey. You know,
I
grew up where my dad used to have me make a vegetable garden. And one of the things we would do is grow Jersey tomatoes, which was absolutely fabulous. And yeah, the tomatoes were wonderful. The Jersey tomatoes and Jersey corn. I know we always brag about Connecticut tomatoes and corn, but I don't know. Jersey tomatoes and corn and peaches are all renowned. They're all really, really good. We have good soil for that in New Jersey. So there's a lot of really great farms and great produce in New Jersey. I mean, our last farm to Fork Fondo was the Garden State Farm to Fork Fondo.
Right.
And who knew that there were cranberry bogs in New Jersey?
I did, but you didn't.
I didn't really know that, no. Mm. And that Ocean Spray was a big player down there. I had no idea.
They're a big player on the Cape.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Did not know that, mm-hmm. But that was great to learn.
It's
and
a
the
thing.
Funny thing is, 2 weeks in a row, I did the Cranberry Bog series. So I did a cranberry tour out of Middleborough, Mass. And we went by some cranberry bogs there. And then I went to New Jersey, and I went by cranberry bogs there. So it was 2 weeks of cranberries. It was great. And cranberries, by the way, are really good for you. Really high in antioxidants. They're good for your cardiovascular health. They're good for your urinary health. They're good for a lot of things. So you're going to get a little of hodgepodge of Fran today, I suppose. Hmm. So I lived there, and we lived in Mercer County, which is right smack in the middle of the state. So the town was called East Windsor. And one of the things about New Jersey that's interesting is that a lot of the municipalities, if they are not cities, there will be boroughs and townships, and the boroughs and townships will have relationships with each other. And sometimes they are separate municipalities and they cooperate with each other. And sometimes they've merged them. But and then New Jersey also has this interesting phenomenon where you have pieces of towns that are not contiguous. And there's a name for that, and I forget what it is. But there are pieces of towns that it's the same town, but it doesn't have a contiguous, it's a section of a town that's somewhere else and doesn't have a contiguous border with the rest of the town. So New Jersey does funny things like that, too. Also, the other thing New Jersey has, it'll have a couple of towns with the same name in different parts of the state. So, and Washington is one example of that. There used to be three Washington townships. Now there's only two because they took the Washington Township that was just south of East Windsor, where I grew up, and they turned it into Robbinsville, because Robbinsville was that was the postal zone in Washington Township, and then a section of Washington Township, and they just changed the name of the municipality to Robbinsville. And so now you have two Washington townships, one in further north Jersey in the mountains, and one down south, south of Philadelphia, you know, in way south Jersey. really far South Jersey, like really, really far South Jersey. So so Jersey is an interesting place. It's an interesting place to grow up. There's a lot of people there. I grew up in it was very Jewish there. And there was a lot of many ethnicities there. And it was very industrious. A lot of industry there, a lot of pharmaceutical industry, which is why, you know, and I was a such a Jersey girl that I went to Rutgers. Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. I don't know if everybody knows that, that realizes that Rutgers is, in fact, the UConn of New Jersey. It is the, there's no University of New Jersey. There's, but there's Rutgers. Well, actually, the state, I don't know, Trenton State College changed its name. It's not, it's got a different name now. And I think they turned it into a university, but it's not, you know, it's not like UConn. The UConn of New Jersey is Rutgers, and that's where I went. And you might think, why didn't I go to an Ivy League school? Okay, so the so Trenton State College is now called the College of New Jersey. But it's a college; it's not a university. Anyway, so I went to Rutgers because at that time it was expensive. I didn't actually get into my Ivies. I applied to Harvard, Yale, and Brown. I didn't get in. But I did get into Tufts and I did get into Rutgers. And financially, it seemed to make more sense to go to Rutgers because tuition was pretty cheap back then because I'm really old. Like I said, I'm double nickel. So I was going to undergrad from 1981 to 1985. So. And this is one interesting thing about Rutgers, in case you didn't know. So I lived in a dorm called Demarest. I lived in a number of dorms. I started out in the new dorms, which are the towers out in the Livingston campus. And by the way, if you go to Rutgers, New Brunswick, Piscataway, you know how we're here at UConn, and there's essentially one campus, and it spans either side of 195.
Yeah, there are other campuses around the state.
Yeah, but you are probably not going to take courses at Storrs campus and then get on a bus and go take a course at Avery Point. That's probably not going to happen. Doesn't work that way.
Or if you're in UConn law, you would go to Hartford.
Right. Yes, that's right. But so, that's probably not going to happen. But the New Brunswick Piscataway campuses were set up so that you would that you could have a class at any place. They used to have separate colleges. There was Rutgers College. There was Douglas College. Which used to be the women's college. I don't know that it still is. Cook College, which was the ag school, and then Livingston College. And then, of course, there was the College of Engineering, the College of Pharmacy. And there was also, when I got there, it was called the College of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. So it was a medical school. And then after a while, it became the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, and then it got taken over by guess who? And this may be a familiar name to you, I don't know, but the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. So Robert Wood Johnson took over the medical school of New Jersey. That's the medical school that's affiliated with Rutgers.
I hear their name as a co-endorser of public radio.
Yeah,
I think you hear
right.
That a
so
lot.
Robert Wood Johnson is a big deal in New Jersey. That's the big state medical school in New Jersey. So you know, so when I was at university, you would get on a bus and you'd go. You'd have a course on College Avenue, the College Avenue campus, one period, and then a period or two later, you might have another class on Bush campus, and you might have another class on Livingston campus, and you would move around and you take the campus buses, and the campus buses, depending on the time of day, could be absolutely packed. And I remember that my friend Geraldine taught me to stand in a martial arts stance so I wouldn't fall on the bus. And the funny thing is, if I have the opportunity to stand on a bus or monorail, I remember Geraldine and I do that. So the only place that happens now pretty much is when I'm flying. When you're in the airport in Tampa, you have to take a monorail to get between the terminals, to get from where you get into the parking area to where you're going to fly from. You have to take a monorail. So I stand and I hold onto the bar and I use that stance. Once in a while, I get to go on the subway in New York and same thing. You know, and you're basically standing in fourth position in ballet. So I remember that. That was kind of a funny thing. And I studied pharmacy. I went through a bunch of majors. I started out majoring in biochemistry, and I didn't stay with it. I didn't do as well in undergrad as I did in high school because I was set free. And then I went through a couple of majors. I started with biochemistry. I switched it up to I switched to music for a little while, but I didn't stay with that. And then I switched to computer science. And then I changed to psychology finally. And I settled on psychology, and that's what I graduated in. But I did psychology with a lab science option, and I did a lot of the courses that you need for pre-med. So if I wanted to go to medical school at some point, I did most of the classes. And then after I graduated, I took organic chemistry at Middlesex County College, which is Middlesex County is the county that Rutgers is in. And I wound up taking physics before I went to naturopathic college at Mercer County Community College, where I was not living in Mercer County at the time. I was living in a different county. And then I went to naturopathic college, and that happened in 1995, right? And so my mom said, you should go to grad school. I said, I don't know what I want to do for grad school. And I then waited for it to come to me. And then I went to a health fair and at Rosemont College in Philadelphia. And that's where I discovered naturopathic medicine. So then I went to naturopathic college and I had a blast. 4 years in Portland, Oregon at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is now known as the National University of Natural Medicine. It used to be in Southeast Portland at 112th and Market. And now it's on Southwest Porter Street, very close in. Close in, when we talk about Portland close in means close to the river. So, and also that your address will have a low number. So Portland is a grid, and Portland, Oregon, the way you know where you are, your address, the street number that you have will tell you where you are. So if you're at 11231 Southeast Market Street, you're in the southeast quadrant, and you're at 112th and Market Street. It doesn't tell you how far north you are on it doesn't tell you where Market Street is. It just tells you how far out you are on Market Street. The avenues are there are numerical. So the number when you're on a numbered street, then you can tell how far east or west you are. You can tell almost exactly where you are. If you're on a numbered street, the streets go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, numerically, and they go north to south. And the whole city is bisected by the river. The river travels north to south, and it divides the city from east to west. And then the city is divided from north to south along Burnside Avenue. And so and you have four quadrants, plus you have North Portland. So it's kind of interesting. And so living in Portland was absolutely fabulous because it is a weird place and it's very accepting. And, you know, I got to experience all kinds of culture. That's where I discovered NIA, the body, mind, fitness class that I wound up teaching. I actually discovered it in New Jersey. There was somebody teaching it there. And then I got to Portland and found that the creators of NIA, Debbie Rosas and Carlos Rosas, were there and they were teaching NIA and they were training people to teach NIA. So I became a NIA instructor. I discovered West African dance there as well. And so I danced with Ruby Burns there. I don't know if she's still teaching or what her deal is. And there was this fantastic drummer who apparently is still around. His name was Catone Lyles, and he was the main drummer for that class. And he was a fantastic drummer, one of the best drummers probably in the world. And he was so good at drumming for dancers. He could watch what you were doing and play what you were dancing. And he knew how to guide you and direct you when they would start the rhythm and end the rhythm. It was just really spectacular. I wound up being in a West African ballet performance. That was really cool. My mother came to Portland and she came to see it and she was absolutely thrilled. Or my parents came to see it, both of them. So it was really a good time. And I had made some good friends. Two of my best friends were Lori Barnes and Stephanie Selman. Lori is a naturopath. She has retired from naturopathic medicine. And then my girlfriend, Stephanie Selman, they both live in Arizona, and Stephanie was going to the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and she's an acupuncturist out in Flagstaff, Arizona right now. So Stephanie was my housemate, and Lori was my good friend, and we were all friends with each other. So that was a fun time. And then I fell in love with Bill. And the other thing I did when I was there is my friend Eric taught me to drum. He taught me to do African drumming. And then my friend Kite taught me how to play marimba in the style of the Shona people of Zimbabwe. And so I still have two marimbas, and I was in a marimba band when I was out there. It was really fun. And the marimba band was called Dancing Trees, and it was with a bunch of other women. And there was a guy too, because there was Pat the man and Pat the woman. And so I did marimba out there. It was pretty fun. And then ultimately, Bill came out, and Bill was a medical student from Memorial University of Newfoundland, and I fell in love with Bill. Bill and I began our tempestuous relationship, and I decided to move to Newfoundland with him. And so I was the first naturopathic physician in the province of Newfoundland, and ever at all. They had never seen a naturopath before. So there was no insurance. There was no infrastructure. There was no nothing. Just me. And at first, I had a lot of patients. I was practicing in a clinic with another doctor, an MD, who was doing some form of natural medicine, Gordon Higgins. So I was grateful to him for giving me that opportunity. And I was there for a long time, a while. I stayed in Newfoundland for a year and a half. And at first, I had a lot of patients. And then I didn't have so many patients. And it was hard to keep a practice going because people weren't used to paying out of pocket because they have socialized medicine in Canada. So I stayed there for a year and a half, and then I said to Bill, it was really hard to be there. I mean, I got a lot of neat things done. I made a lot of friends, but I got depressed because it was pretty isolated. I felt like it was pretty isolated, and yet I love my Newfie friends. I'm still friends with a bunch of them. I still keep in touch with them, and I hope to go back to Newfoundland at some point. There are a lot of naturopaths in Newfoundland now. There didn't used to be. One of them is Kathleen Mercer, this lovely woman who was my preceptor when I was there. And she does practice, I believe, in St. John's, which is great. St. John's is the capital of Newfoundland and the place where the sun rises first in North America. In fact, the place where the sun rises first in North America is Cape Spear, and it is in a park in St. John's, Newfoundland. And so now you know that. The other cool thing, the only funny thing about Newfoundland, half-hour time zone. So right now, it's 10:32 a.m. here. It is 12 noon in Newfoundland. So go figure. They have a half-hour time zone because they're just a little bit further to the east than Nova Scotia is. So I stayed in Newfoundland for a year and a half, and then I was like, Bill, we should go somewhere else. So he matched his residency and got it at Dalhousie University, which is in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So off we went to Halifax, and I was in Halifax for 2 years. Well, it didn't work out with Bill. Halifax was a fabulous town. It was a really fun place to be. I made a lot of friends there. I was in a samba band there. I drummed and danced there. We did, there was a couple, from, the Naropa Institute, which is, Shogyam Trungpa, who is a Tibetan Buddhist teacher, had founded, and he had also founded the Shambhala movement, and the Shambhala house was on the next block from where I lived. So I meditated with Shambhala sometimes, and Kurt and Christina Lowry taught us Haitian style dance and drum, and that was fantastic. So and then we were in the samba band with this guy named he passed. He and his wife was from Norwich.
Connecticut?
Yeah, right. But I'll try to think of his name. But I was in a samba band. This guy led the samba band. And it was called Samba Nova, which is very funny because, you know, Samba Nova is new, but it's also Nova in Portuguese. But it's Nova for Nova Scotia. So that's so cute. Samba Nova still exists. So that's kind of cool. And there was a Cuban community there, too, because there were these Cuban sailors that jumped ship so they could get asylum in Canada. And I met one of them, and things didn't work out with Bill. So I was with this fella. And so I was with him for a while, and then that didn't work out. And I moved back. I wanted to move back to the States, so I did. And that's when I got my first practice. My first practice was with Deirdre O'Connor at Natura Medica in Mystic. So I was there for just over a year. The other thing I did as soon as I got to Connecticut was I cold called radio stations, and I reached Jerry Christopher at WELI in Hamden, and he gave me a show. He gave me a show on it at 8 o'clock. It was on commercial radio down in Hamden. So I did that for 5 weeks, and it was great. And I got more and more call. It was a call-in show, and I got a lot of callers. And Bernie Siegel, who's a, you know, who helps people with natural medicine and cancer, he was on that radio station as well. I don't know if he still is, but he was. And I was on for 5 weeks, but then I got the job. Deirdre O'Connor had offered me a position in Mystic, so I wasn't going to stay there. And then they wanted to move my show to Sunday, so I left. I didn't continue the show in Hamden. And I wound up at WBLQ in Westerly with Chris DiPaolo and Brian Sullivan and the gang. And I was there for 2 years and while I was practicing in Mystic. And then and that was a great experience. And then when I knew I was going to move up here, I cold called John Murphy, who was the general manager of WHUS at the time. And I said, you should give me a show. And they had me take the test, and I did. I got a show. It was great. So it was very nice.
And here we are.
I know. And that was, so I started on WHUS in 2002, in February 2002.
Is that how long it's been?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. So
how about
it's
that?
A million years. So it's going to be 17 years. This,
yeah.
17 years I've been on WHUS. I'm a relic.
And I'm here because of you.
I remember dials. Remember, we didn't have pots like we have now. We had dials. It's
dials.
Very funny. Yeah. So that's a little history of my life. Now let me tell you about birthdays. So first of all, I was born on the 28th of November, 1963. I was born on the 12th of Kislev in 5724. So that's my Hebrew birthday. Today, I believe, is the 20th of Kislev. Let me just see if that's true. Today's Hebrew date. It's the 20th of Kislev today. So how come it's my birthday and it's the 20th of Kislev today, but when I was born, November 28th was the 12th of Kislev? That's 8 days. That's 8 days difference. How can that be? Well, it's because the Hebrew calendar is a lunar calendar. The months only have 28 days. And so that's why you'll see Jewish holidays appear to move around a lot in the Gregorian calendar. They're not really moving around. They're on the same date in the Hebrew calendar every year. It's just the Hebrew calendar doesn't line up with the Gregorian calendar. And so the year I was born, November 28th, was the 12th of Kislev. This year, November 28th, is the 20th of Kislev. So today is not my Hebrew birthday. My Hebrew birthday was 8 days ago. And I should remember to celebrate that because that's kind of a cool thing. Then you could celebrate that. So really, you can start celebrating your birthday on your Gregorian birthday or your Hebrew birthday, whichever comes first. Because 8 days ago was November 20th. Oh, it was the same day as Cindy's birthday. It was my Hebrew birthday. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so my girlfriend Cindy, her birthday was November 20th. And my Hebrew birthday fell on November 20th this year. I'll tell her. She'll like that. Okay. So anyway, so we wanted to talk about why you should celebrate yourself and why you should celebrate your birthday, because birthdays are fun. You should just celebrate anything. I was just thinking today about this song on Fiddler on the Roof, L'chaim, to L'chaim to life. And one of the lines in the song is, we'll raise a glass and sip a drop of schnapps in honor of the great good luck that favored you. We know that when good fortune favors two such men, it stands to reason we deserve it too. To us? Well, they're talking about the good fortune. Yeah, the good fortune. The good fortune was that their daughters were getting married. So they were using the fact that this person was getting married as a chance to celebrate and have fun. So you should do that too. You don't even have to know me, and you don't have to even tell me that. Go out and celebrate. Go do something fun. You can drink to me if you want to. Just use Fran's birthday as an excuse to just celebrate. Because, you know, that's why I came here. I came here to cheer you up. That was the whole point. Kennedy was assassinated. It was a terrible event in American history. And 6 days later, I was born. You know, everybody went to the hospital and had a little turkey. That would be me.
That would be me.
So my job is to cheer you up. So go and have fun. Go do something fun today. You don't have to tell me about it. You don't even have to mention my name. You can if you want to. If you want to drink to Fran, go ahead. If you want to drink to something else, please do. Use me as an excuse to do something fun today, all right? It will make me happy if you do that, and I don't even have to know about it. Just use me as an excuse to go celebrate something. So the first thing that happened is I got myself out of bed very early in the morning because I wanted to get my exercise done early in the day so I could do whatever else later. So we went to Ron's spin class.
I did that.
And Ron played all cool songs that I like and also cool songs that are mushy. So
yeah.
He played Celebrate, Good Time.
So what's your
Come
problem?
On.
You got a good. Problem with that?
I have a really big problem with that.
Yeah, I could tell.
So, and he played some of my favorite songs. Like he played Bohemian Like You by the Dandy Warhols. And he played Cannonball by the Breeders. And he played Beautiful Day by U2. And so and then we tried to set up Spotify on our Amazon and didn't get very far because we need a we need a mouse and it started to be a time.
Let's be honest. We need a 10-year-old.
We need Harry.
We need a 10-year-old.
Harry's coming in a week and a half.
That's what we really need.
We need
when
Harry.
You have a 10-year-old, all of your computer woes are set
well,
aside.
Harry,
just know
Harry's
their way
coming.
Around it.
He'll be here on December 8th, so we'll deputize Harry, and he'll be only too happy to figure it out. He's very good with that. Okay, so you celebrated for a bunch of reasons. It's when you acknowledge the anniversary of your birth. Some birthdays are celebrated in a lot of the same ways, different places, with a party, a gift, or some special stuff. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of your life. So it's so you have stuff that you're going to do when you're here on the planet. So it's a nice thing. If you celebrate, it's an expression of thanks. So you should say thank you to your parents. So thank you, Daddy. Hopefully you can hear me. And I will no doubt talk to my mother today on the actual phone and my sister and her family as well. So that will be nice. So big shout out to Mom and Dad for making this all happen.
And a big thank you from me.
Aw. And so, and it's a chance to just, reflect upon your life and what you're going to accomplish now. I was delighted when Marcy McDonald came to me. So Marcy McDonald is somebody who swims. I see her at the Mansfield Community Center, and she has a record for the most swims across the English Channel.
She's not just somebody who swims.
She is
like an icon of the swimming
world.
Yes,
and she swims the English Channel, and she does other epic swims, like she swam in Loch Ness. She swam at what's that beach? Normandy Beach. All kinds of stuff like that.
Swam across Long Island Sound a bunch of times.
Right.
I think she did a Cuban swim, didn't she?
She might have. I'm not sure if she did that. I mean, Diana Nyad did. The difference between Marcy and Diana Nyad is that Marcy isn't as famous as Diana Nyad, but she can do what Diana Nyad does. Anyway, Marcy and I are 4 days apart. And so this is something to consider. Some people are born in the Thanksgiving zone. So the Thanksgiving zone is November 22nd to the November 28th, because Thanksgiving Day is it's always the fourth Thursday in November, whatever date that is. So it can happen on the 22nd through the 28th. So if you're born on anywhere in there, you're born in the Thanksgiving zone. So I always like to honor people, first of all, who have the same birthday as me, but also who are anywhere in the Thanksgiving zone. So a big shout out to LJ at D's One's Mark Cookie. And so LJ.
Because you guys are all a bunch of turkeys.
That's right. Mm. We are all a bunch of turkeys. LJ is 5 days older than me.
How about that?
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. We're born the same week. Mm. So he's born on November 23rd. I'm born on November 28th. Marcy's November 24th, and she has a twin. I think Janet is her twin, I think.
Okay.
My old boyfriend friend, Eric Kelly, I had a nice conversation with him on Monday, which was his birthday. And John Stewart and I share a birthday, although he's exactly 1 year older than me. And the cool thing about John Stewart is that our mothers work together at the Melvin H. Krepp School. His mother, Marion Leibowitz, was a teacher for the gifted and talented. Mm-hmm. And so she would come and consult at the Krepp School, and my mother worked with her. And so we both grew up in Mercer County, New Jersey. He was in Lawrenceville and I was in East Windsor. So that was like 6 miles apart. And we both worked at the Quaker Bridge Mall probably at the same time. And he worked at Woolworths and I was a survey girl at GRP Surveys. So kind of interesting. So happy birthday, John Stewart. Another huge happy birthday to my beloved friend and coworker, Andrea Epling. It's her birthday today as well.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I met Andrea a number of years ago. And when I met her, I saw her birthday. I'm like, oh, look at that. We have the same birthday. Mm. So last year I gave her a card that had the Beatles. You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too. Yeah. Right. So because it's my birthday too, yeah. And I can say the same thing to John Stewart. So everybody who's November. And then I remember growing up in school, there was a classmate of mine. Her name was Lauren Marcus, and she had exactly the same birthday as me. She was born on the same day. So I don't know where Lauren Marcus is. Maybe I should try to find her on Facebook. I'll wish her a happy birthday.
There you go.
And so, you know, this is a good day to bond with people, do fun stuff. I think what Ron and I are going to do is we're going to wing it today. We're going to do some fun stuff. There are good things to do. There are fun things you can do on your birthday. So, you know, you should do things you love and do fun, anything fun. Usually I would try to dance on my birthday. I don't know if I'm going to do that today, but I remember one year on my birthday, I danced. I did three different dances. I took Nia class. I did a Nia improv, and I took African dance class. So I did all three of those on the same day. That would have been something like my 28th or 29th birthday because it involved Debbie and Carlos. It was in Oregon. So if you do things that you love to do on your birthday, if there's, you know, something special, if you want to get your nails done, if you want to get a massage, if there's a particular bike ride you like to do, if there's a particular hike you like to do, if there's a movie you want to see, definitely listen to music that you like. That's one of the things I'm going to do. I'll make sure that I listen to different songs that are my favorite songs today. I'll try to do that.
That's how I started your day out.
Yeah. So you did. Well, some of them were songs that were honoring me and some of them were my actual favorite songs.
Right.
But some of them were not both.
Right.
So like,
I mixed it up.
Bohemian Like You and Cannonball are two of my favorite songs.
Mm.
And then there are other songs that were just honoring of me, but we'll figure out a Fran playlist and we'll figure out some other, but like other songs I will want to hear is Vertigo by U2, and there's another song that was on the same album as Vertigo that sounds like that, and I can't remember the name of it, but that's, I like that one too. And Scarlet Begonias by the Grateful Dead, The Wheel by the Grateful Dead, pretty much anything by Vince Guaraldi. So just so you know, I am a lover of Vince Guaraldi.
I know you are.
Really love Vince Guaraldi.
I thought about that, but I ran, you know, I only had an hour to play.
It's all right. We have the rest of the day. I can listen. So what I've been doing is I'm putting Vince Guaraldi on Spotify and listening to lots of Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah.
So I listen to all the different Peanuts songs. By the way, if you don't know who Vince Guaraldi is,
he's the person who wrote all the songs.
All the Peanuts
for, all the
music.
Peanuts movies, the little what are they? The animated movies.
Yes, yeah. And so like Linus and Lucy is the most the song that everybody knows. Do 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 do. That's Linus and Lucy. Yeah. It's the one everybody knows. And of course, there's Christmas music. There's a Thanksgiving theme.
Yep.
And there's he did a bunch of Christmas songs for the Christmas special. And there's that Christmas time is here. He wrote that. All kinds of stuff. So I like listening to that, especially this time
and
of year.
And Fran's a real sap for the for all the Peanuts movies.
Oh, yes. I love Peanuts.
You love
Peanuts.
Peanuts
is one of the things I love. Right. Just Peanuts in general. I like to read Peanuts. I like to have Peanuts gear. I'm really into Peanuts. Like, if you handed me a Peanuts T-shirt, I would be very happy. I have a Peanuts pillow now.
Yes,
and
you
it has
do.
A picture of Snoopy and Charlie Brown hugging.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wake up and I get a Peanuts face in my eyes and go, whoa, what's that?
And I don't put a pillowcase on it because I want to look at Charlie Brown and Snoopy. So I'm going to have to wash the pillow sometimes. So, you know, the other thing, here's another interesting thing. I told you that my Hebrew birthday is the 12th of Kislev. Well, how about my Mayan sign? My Mayan sign?
Mm.
I'm a Kawak. What's this? This is...
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
a very
right
interesting
now.
Thing. Hmm. Learn your Mayan sign. Let me see if I can find. All right. So let me click on this one. It says that Knife 7 wrote. I don't know if that's right. This may not be the right date because this isn't what I found last night. Oh no, it's not. This is the date. This is the wrong date. So I'll tell you in a second what is my Mayan. My Mayan date in this particular system. Okay. So, yeah, I'm Storm 10 Dog. I think I did that. Storm is also, but it's pronounced in Mayan, it's Kawak. And so that's a fun thing you can do. You get a Mayan calendar calculator and you figure out your Mayan calendar birthday. And it'll explain all the different things about the Mayan calendar, your attributes and your tone and you know, what your higher self is and your purpose. So that's kind of a fun thing to do. So the other thing you should do is eat some of your favorite foods. So there's some favorite foods I have that are healthy and some are less healthy. So for example, you've heard me talk about sag paneer. I really like sag paneer. Sag paneer can be super healthy because sag paneer, what it is, and anything that's sag in Hindi is, sag in Hindi is spinach. And so when you puree spinach, you get a lot of nutrition out of it. So sag paneer is sag with cheese. And sag with chicken is, there's sag with something else. And then, you know, it's, I'm not sure what the Hindi phrase for it is, but that's one of my favorite things. I like smoked fish. Chocolate, if you get good chocolate, it can be really good for you because of the flavanols and because, you know, that, so it can be really good for your cardiovascular health and also for your blood sugar. So if you get really good chocolate, if you get cacao nibs and you get, cocoa powder, it can be, they're really great antioxidants for your health. I also happen to like acai bowls, which you've heard me talk about before. And acai, shout out to all you Brazilians out there. Acai is a dime a dozen in Brazil. Very easy to find. And acai, again, is a fantastic antioxidant, really good for cardiovascular health and good for blood vessel health in general, but just a generalized antioxidant. I like green tea anything. I like to sit and drink green tea. I like green tea lattes and green tea ice cream. And when I'm talking about those things as green tea, I'm really talking about matcha. So remember matcha? Matcha is when you take green tea and you make a powder out of it. Yeah. Yes.
And you like that.
Yeah. So when you powder green tea, supposedly it's the healthiest way to consume green tea because instead of putting the tea into water and infusing the water with the polyphenols and the other constituents, you're actually powdering the tea and you're eating it. So you're getting more of the antioxidants in and it's very concentrated. So matcha can be expensive because you're basically getting more tea for unit volume. But if you get matcha powder and you add it to stuff, it's a really fantastic antioxidant. And like I said, it's the most concentrated form of green tea you can get. And so you can drink it as tea. You can mix it into your hot cocoa. You can, and you know, in Asian culture, it's done, it's used as a confection as well. So you can get green tea lattes and you can get green tea ice cream. And I love green tea ice cream. So those are some of my favorite things. Hopefully I get some of that, if not today, but soon. I like apple and berry crumbles. So here's the thing about making crumble. So if you want to have dessert, if you're a person, I really want to have dessert, but you're trying to watch your weight and you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to be healthier, but you want to have dessert, berry crumbles can be a downright healthy way to go, or they can be a good compromise, depending on how much sugar or sweetener you put into it. And they're so easy to make. So if you just use your favorite berry or berries this time of year, because you're going to bake them anyway, it doesn't matter if they're fresh. You can get frozen organic berries and you just lay them in a pan. You can toss them with some maple syrup or sucanat, or, you know, evaporated quinine juice. And then you put a crumble, you make a streusel over it. And depending on what you want to do, you can use, if you want it to be vegan, you can use coconut oil. And if you don't mind using butter, you use real grass-fed butter. And you mix that together with an all-purpose flour. And if you are not gluten intolerant, you might want to try einkorn. And if you are, get all-purpose gluten-free flour. You mix that with the butter and some more sweetener, your evaporated cane juice, coconut sugar, maple syrup, whatever you want to use. I recommend coconut sugar. I like coconut sugar because coconut sugar has inulin in it. And inulin is a prebiotic fiber that will help you to have good gut flora. And it makes coconut sugar, lower glycemic than most other sugars. So it's a really good way to go. The only issue with coconut sugar, it's not quite as sweet as other sugars because it's got inulin in it. And the inulin is a fiber. It's not as sweet as the other components, you know, the actual sucrose that's in it. But if you use it and you like the way it tastes, it can be a very useful sweetener. And it's nice for baking because, you know, when you're baking, you're going to get lots of other flavors in with the baking. So it's not going to... it might be an issue if you put it into something that has a fine taste, like into your tea, for example. Coffee can usually absorb whatever flavor you're adding in terms of a sweetener because it's so strongly flavored on its own. But you've got your fat, your butter or your coconut, and you've got your all-purpose flour, and you've got your choice of sweetener, and then you add oats to it. And, you know, I recommend using organic oats. And you just mush it together. And I use my hands. I wash my hands really good. Mm. And then I mush it together. And I make the streusel topping over it. And then I stick it in the oven. It usually bakes for 40, 45 minutes on 350, somewhere between 350 and 400, depending on your oven. Gets a nice coating. And it's great. And when I use apples for that, I prefer to use Granny Smith's. Because you're making a sweet confection. And when you use Granny Smith's, they're tart.
Right. You want to mix the two.
So you have a little less sugar, and the thing doesn't come out being too cloyingly sweet. So on your birthday, eat your favorite food. That's a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Do your favorite exercise, whatever that is, cycling, dancing, swimming, yoga. I like cycling, dancing, swimming, yoga, and running. If you can, spend time with your family. You know, I'm going to spend time with Ron. Family time is really important. And it's important for your health. You know, it can be a challenge, but it's something that's really important to you. There's actual research that if you're lonely, it's bad for your health and you could die sooner. It's very sad. People with no family and for like when they've done studies on elderly people, and the ones that don't have people visiting them are more likely to die sooner. So when you have other people to live for,
you can get out more too. Yeah, I mean, there's ways of dealing with that, right?
If you don't actually have family, but if you spend time with your family, it builds your self-esteem, because if you have good family structures, they can build you up in a way that other people can't. Now, I'm sure some of you listening have issues with your family, so that's hard for you.
Pick the ones you don't have issues with.
Yeah, it does create bonds. And we're very fortunate that we have good family relationships that we're happy with and that we continue to nurture and seek out. Mm. And it also helps you learn about your history. You create memories. You create a future. You create a past. And you bond together about things that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, it's just a very healthful thing.
I spent time with family last night.
Yes, you did. That was very nice. You went and saw your brother-in-law and sister. That's very good.
Yep.
And if you hang around with your family, especially if you have a good relationship with them, you wind up laughing and having fun, and that's very good for you. You know, it's very good because you bond with your family more, and also laughter. We talked about that last week. Laughter is really good for you, no matter what. So having fun and laughing, which is something you should, by the way, do on your birthday, but do it with your family. It's a good thing, too. Spending time with your kids is really good, with your teenagers and your parents. You know, making time for your spouse and your extended family. All of these they're actually good for your health. And spending time with family, having good family relationships, is a predictor for cardiovascular health. People who have, you'll have better cardiovascular health if you have good family relationships. So if you are having a hard time with your family, it would be well advised to work on healing some of those relationships. So so it was just a little synopsis of me and where I come from and celebrating. And please feel free to celebrate any way you want. I hope you get to celebrate your life. And, of course, we always want to provide you with good information here on Radio Naturopath. So don't forget that you can always call in and ask questions, and then I'll be happy to answer them. So You have, so thank you for indulging me here on my 55th birthday. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza.
Hey.
You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.